Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the Asia-Pacific economy is increasingly defined by those countries that are controlling COVID-19 and rolling out vaccines quickly, and those that are not. This is summarized beautifully in a report by Moody's titled The Haves and the Have-Nots. To get an update on the current situation in terms of COVID-19 and the impact that it's having on regional economies, particularly when it comes to vaccine rollouts, we're joined now by Steve Cochran, and he's the chief APAC economist at Moody's Analytics. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Rachel. Good to be with you.
It's absolutely wonderful to have you with us today, Steve. So let's start off. Who are the haves and the have-nots, and what's differentiating them at this point in time?
So there's two specific factors that I look at in terms of the haves and the have-nots. What you mentioned already, that the haves are those that have ample supply of vaccines and have the capability to roll it out and get a fairly large share of the population vaccinated by sometime later this year. The second factor that I look at as well is countries that haven't completely shut down their economies, that still have enough ability to get around, to move, to shop, and to keep the domestic economy going, at least at a certain level, not as much as one would expect in a completely open economy again. So if we use those two criteria, if you will, Singapore is one, China is another, and Korea is a third. Singapore has been the fastest in terms of rolling out the vaccine. And although there are restrictions in terms of movement, there's still an ability to get out and spend and shop and so forth, right? China, first in, first out. China is in most places, except in parts of southern China, where there's a bit of an uptick in COVID now, things are fairly normal. And Korea as well has kept COVID fairly stable and is rapidly vaccinating as well. Those are the haves.
And you highlight the Philippines in your report as well, don't you, Steve?
Yeah. So on the have-not side, the Philippines, by many measures, is probably the worst off right now in terms of having very little capability of controlling COVID, having some of the strictest lockdowns across anywhere in the Asia Pacific region, and barely having any vaccination effort going right now. So things are really tough in the Philippines, and my guess is they will be one of the slowest to turn around.
And this is all based on vaccination rollout. What other risks are there, Steve? I mean, inflation perhaps as well?
Well, we're looking at inflation, and I think inflation is on top of everyone's minds, because we're certainly seeing a lot of inflation in the countries that are rapidly vaccinating and the economies open up. If you look at the United States, if you look at Europe, inflation is accelerating, but it's actually not so much an issue yet in this part of the world. It will be, I think, when economies do finally open up, but that's not really a near-term risk at the moment. I think a couple things worth looking at. One, of course, is going back to COVID, just the risk that COVID could become concentrated in some of the centers of manufacturing around the region.
Okay.
Because manufacturing and exports is a really key factor that's keeping the Asia-Pacific economy going right now.
And the risks there accelerated or accentuated by the variants, such as the Delta variant and now Delta Plus?
That's right. Now that the Delta variant, the Delta Plus, my understanding is really that the biggest risk with these is that the transmission is so fast that it can get, you know, well beyond what most countries can manage in terms of testing and tracing and so forth, and can get out of hand very quickly. An example might be, if you look at Vietnam, some of the new clusters of COVID are not happening so much where people live, but where they work, in the industrial parks. And if it's in the industrial parks and there is a fear of it spreading very, very quickly, then there's the risk that they're shut down. And if they're shut down for a time, then that limits production, exports, and that would hurt the economy quite a bit.
And so, Steve, with COVID, and as you mentioned, some of the reasons slowing down regional economies, talk to us about how these economies are positioned and what your outlook is for the region. I mean, you highlight that the current account is positive and in some cases rising for nearly every country other than India and Indonesia.
Well, you know, it's really true that when you look at the Asia Pacific region, we're probably better positioned than most other places now, and particularly if areas of, you know, of clusters of emerging markets where there is high inflation. If you look at Brazil or Argentina, Turkey, I mean, these are examples of areas that are in real trouble in terms of managing their currencies, managing their trade balance, and so forth. But because the export trade has been fairly strong and imports are not so strong because people just aren't spending so much, it does help to keep the value of the currency and the current accounts fairly level, current account positive. And that's a good place to be in, particularly as interest rates globally may begin to rise more quickly going forward, again, as say the US and Europe have inflation. So the best trade patterns and stability are in China, Taiwan, Korea, Singapore, we mentioned, Vietnam for now, as long as COVID doesn't get any worse. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we mentioned the Philippines already. Indonesia and Thailand are two countries that are probably the weakest in terms of prospects going forward and the risks in terms of what might happen if indeed, one, they can't manage to keep their exports up, and two, if COVID can't be controlled.
Okay, Steve. So very quickly, finally, what are you going to be watching out for in the months ahead? I mean, I know that there's an element of unpredictability, isn't there? What are some of the key factors that you're going to be keeping an eye on?
There is a lot of unpredictability and perhaps a bit of volatility that we should expect simply because of how hard it is to forecast what may happen with COVID, where the next clusters may hit. Certainly, we'll be looking at the stability of external demand for the region. And so that means Europe and North America and even the Chinese economy. As long as they continue to, if Europe and North America continue to open up and demand grows from there and China is stable, then the trade position should be good. Of course, the speed of vaccination, we want to see a vaccination accelerate everywhere in a sense like it is in Singapore right now. And I think third, you know, one thing that I'm simply watching for are comments from central bankers around the region. You know, we're just beginning to get some comments out of the Federal Reserve about the thinking off into next year, eventually normalizing interest rates. And it'll be very interesting in the coming months to see if any comments come out of the central banks in this part of the region to give us a sense of this part of the globe, to give us a sense of the timing of bringing monetary policy interest rates back to what we would consider normal from their very, very low points right now.
Wonderful. Well, Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Steve Cochran, Chief APAC Economist at Moody's Analytics. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.